Welcome back to the Outdated Wrestling Hour. Bob, Matt Slob, told me that the guest this time is Bill Apter. Well, I got an anecdote for you. I was in Albany, New York, watching what was going to be the main event against world champion superstar Billy Graham versus Tony Garea. And I see this photographer guy rushing back and forth between backstage and the ring, backstage and the ring. I said, that looks like Bill Apter from the magazines. So I got a little courage, and he wasn't far from where I was sitting, so I stood up, and as he was walking his way back, I said, excuse me, are you Bill Apter from the wrestling magazines? He says, yes, I am. I'm Bill Apter from the wrestling magazines. And I said, well, you do fantastic work. I'm really glad to meet you. And he put a big smile on his face and said, you son of a who do you think you ought to bother me? And next time, why don't you? And the guy sitting next to you, too. That's it with me and Apter. I don't want to discuss it anymore. These big shots, you know? Ah. It's the Outdated Wrestling Hour.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to what I consider to be a very special edition of Bob Smith's Outdated Wrestling Hour. How's everybody doing? As you know, I was with Pro Wrestling Illustrated and its sister magazines for several years, in the late 80s into the mid-90s. It's still one of the great, wonderful flukes of my life that I even got hired there. It all worked out wonderfully for me and my career and everything else, and the only problem I ever had with it was when Stanley Weston walked in and said he was going to sell the titles. He was going to sell to a different magazine company, and I could not go along to Pennsylvania and continue my journey in professional wrestling through that company. However, the friendships I made there have lasted all these years. It's decades now. Many decades now. And believe it or not, Bill Apter and I have stayed in contact all these years. And now I finally get a chance to bring him in a full-length show now. He is so busy. It's crazy. He's having a birthday this month, and he is still as active, maybe more so than he's ever been. He has a full-time job helping people find jobs, disabled people or other people with problems. It's a wonderful advocation that he has, but he's still working pretty much full-time at the same time for Sports Skeeta website, as well as a bunch of other podcasts, web shows, you name it. He's as active and vibrant as he's ever been. And I'm glad about that because he's doing what he loves. So I'm proud to call Bill Apter my friend. I'm proud to have spent a lot of time with him in the air, at arenas, doing interviews, doing all sorts of things. And he's hard to nail down now because he's so doggone busy. It's incredible. So I have a half hour with him now. I hope you enjoy. I'm going to just run this whole thing unexpurgated, and hopefully you'll hear the friendship and joy we have in talking to each other. It's a wonderful thing to display to the world. He's a legend. I mean, even Cody Rhodes knows it, and Triple H knows it. You saw it recently. So, hey, enough of my yakking. Here is the Dean of American Wrestling Reporters, Mr. Bill Apter.
Are we outdated?
We're so outdated that they stopped counting.
Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. We're so outdated that I can actually reveal at this moment that, yes, I did photograph Abraham Lincoln's last match.
Wow.
Wow.
But here's the question. Did he have the beard or was he clean shaven?
No, he's clean shaven for that one because there was a lot of press there and he wanted to look nice.
Well, you know, the post-match too with either the press conference.
Yeah,
you know,
press conference. Tony Khan's father was taking care of the press conference there.
Did you ever think there would be a day where there'd be a press conference after wrestling matches? I know I saw you on recently too on television. Yes.
And Cody Rhodes gave me a great shout out.
Yes,
and
I saw that.
So did Triple H. It was very, very. No, I never thought that would happen. Back in the old, outdated, dark days of professional wrestling, the only press that was back there, and there were no conferences with me, George Napolitano, Frank Amato, and once in a while that Paul Heyman guy. Whatever happened to him?
I never heard of him. But anyway, further emphasizing your point, I think it was in 91 that you and I went to on an icy cold winter day to the Meadowlands to see Ric Flair regain the NWA title from Sting.
We
and
did.
The press there was you, me, and two other guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was it.
Mo and Larry were the other two guys.
I didn't even know who they were. I had no idea who they were.
I played Curly. You played Curly Joe Derita.
Right. Actually, Meltzer was there.
Oh, really?
Dave Meltzer was there, but he didn't take questions afterwards. Maybe he left at that point. But anyway, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show in a real way here, because the last time we did it from my phone at that convention, and it came out really well. Did you hear the show?
I did. I loved it, and I've always admired what you've done, and that you came not just in wrestling, but in music too. I remember going to one of your first shows somewhere down in New York, BB King's or whatever it was.
Right.
And I said, I had no idea you could do this. You were tremendous.
Yeah.
You loused up the spelling of your last name, but you were tremendous.
I know. Well, you know why I did that? Did I ever explain why I did that?
No.
It's Robert, or when I played in Long Island, I was Bobby Charles. Charles was my father's name and my middle name.
Okay? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. And unfortunately, there was another Bobby Charles who wrote See You Later, Alligator, and a lot of hits for artists in the 50s.
I have to say See You Soon, Baboon, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah, but, well, who did, oh, Bill Haley in the Comets sang See You Later, Alligator. Bobby Charles wrote it. He's from Louisiana. So in order to get my own spot in the record stores, I had to change my name.
Oh, right.
So I had to go from Bobby to Robert, and Charles is Charles, just to avoid the confusion.
Wow. So kind of like...
I should have just called myself Bob Smith. Who cares?
The Giant had to change his name to Big Show. I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? It was a mistake. I could have been Bob Smith. Who cares? Yeah. I mean, honestly, who really cares?
No, that can't be your real name. But anyway, let's talk wrestling.
All right. We're going to talk wrestling. The reason I've wanted you on the show for so long is I think you have the answers to some questions.
Oh, my God.
That nobody else in the planet can answer these questions but you.
The pressure is enormous.
Yes, it is. Okay. Here's the first question.
What, you want to do this like Jeopardy? You give me the answer and I'll give you the question.
Just want to see if you know the answer to these questions. I think you know the answer to every one. Okay?
Let's go.
We're going to go back to 71 or 72.
Oh, my goodness. When I started.
Fred Blassie is making his return to the WWF. And I know you're out of those things because I've heard the audio tapes of you were interviewing Albano and Blassie.
Yes.
Now, when Blassie used to gnaw open his opponents on TV, they put a big red X over the screen.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
My question. Did the WWF do that from fear of their affiliates getting mad at the blood and gore on TV? Or was it a come on psychologically to get fans to pay tickets to see the violence in the arenas?
No, it was the first one. Several TV stations complained about that, the blood and the gore. And that's why
is that
they
right?
did that. Yeah.
So that really is true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But WWF loved doing that because it correctly answers part two of your question, because it did draw people to want to come and see the blood and the violence as well without the X on there.
And I know you were how did you feel about it at the time?
Well, but if that was today, they would have the Miz run in and put an X in front of them and, just hold it in front of them. How did I feel about it? I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was terrific. If you wanted to see the blood and the gore of Fred Blassie back then, he was going back and forth to Los Angeles to the Olympic Auditorium. And we got those shows on Canal 41, Channel 41, UHF. And you could just switch, you go there on Saturday nights and you could see all the blood and gore from Blassie on those shows.
Well, so, I talk about this on the podcast all the time. I saw the first time when Blassie made his comeback in 72.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it like it was yesterday because I was scared to death as a little kid watching this. He took on Big Jim Lancaster. I don't remember which arena it was.
Okay.
But the first one was uncensored. The first time he did it was uncensored. And he gnawed him into a, oh, my God.
Yeah,
I was scared.
They did it for both reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because after a while with the X, I remember, wasn't McMahon Sr., it might have been Willie Gilsenberg telling me about the TV stations there. He was the president of the WWWF. But he said, you know, it makes the fans crazy. The fans love it. That's all.
I think that's true. I think it's a big psychological factor on who's watching. I really do.
Absolutely. So both parts of your question are correct.
Okay. All right. Has anybody ever asked you that before?
No.
See?
No.
You're the only guy on the planet that can answer these questions.
No, that's because it was banned. That's why they put the X on there, so no one's been able to talk about it.
All right, here's question number two.
Wait a minute. It's interesting you started with that question. Mm-hmm. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning this morning, I was channel turning. Yes, I'm up till about two, and I watched Triple X. So now you came up with Single X. Wow. Interesting.
I got to play the lottery later. Anyway, here's question number two.
Okay.
Bruno versus Pedro at Shea Stadium.
I guess
that was 72 as well.
Yeah.
George Steele, in the midway through the match, starts running out and acting crazy, and the cops chase him and all that stuff, right? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, but that was toward the end. Yeah.
Right. Yes, yeah. Here's the question. Was that planned or was it impromptu because the match wasn't going over?
The match was going over, definitely. Period. Mm-hmm. The end.
Okay.
I think they did that because it was just an excitement thing. Oh, no, I never heard that before.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think it was just, you know, to have George go out there. No, I never heard that. And I think it was closer toward the end of the match because it was, you know, the 60-minute time limit thing there. And I think that ended in a draw, if I remember correctly.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I think they were just stalling for some time because the match was going long and this just added another 4 or 5 minutes to it.
Okay. I'd heard people say that they ran Steele out because the match was bombing and people were booing. I guess that's not true.
No, not at all. Not at all. And you know, the aftermath of that thing, Bruno was very upset at us at the magazine because we had put that Bruno was almost like a heel in that match because most of the fans that came to Shea Stadium that night were people that were Latino people that were backing Pedro Morales that night. And we had written in the magazines, you know, pretty much that the crowd was there to see Morales more than Bruno. And Bruno took great exception to that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me that Bruno took exception to a few things during your friendship at the magazines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember, I am ready for any kind of action, baby. Bruno, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was together with them many, many, many times. They were both two of my, at the beginnings, two of the people that opened doors for me that were incredible.
Mm-hmm. Bruno was one of a kind. He really was. I don't think I ever met Pedro, but I met Bruno a bunch of times. And he came to the office once when I was there, too. So,
did he? See, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he came to the office at least three or four times overall, I think. And I was there for the last one I think.
I hate to say this.
He only did it once?
No, I don't think he did at all. We have there's no pictures of it or anything.
I thought there were pictures of him in the office.
Not Bruno. No. Bruno did not want to. Bruno had Mr. Weston had a lot of heat with Bruno, and Bruno didn't really want to meet him because it would have been a very bad confrontation.
Well, I know you and I met him off-site somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember where
Sunnyside,
it was.
At a street festival at Sunnyside
that
Garden.
That must have been what that was, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it was definitely not the office. Bruno
and
never
we ran into him at certain IndyCars. Remember, he managed his son and Paul Heyman managed.
Was that at a Herb Abrams show?
Larry Zbyszko. No, that was an indie show.
Right, right.
And it was my first Steel Cage column where you took a picture of me holding my arms outward stretched because Bruno and Larry looked like they're going to beat each other up again. So it was the introduction to my first column.
I do remember that picture now.
Yeah, yeah.
I do remember.
You came up, you booked it. You booked that angle. You said, Bob, why don't you get in the middle of these two like they're going to shout at each other?
I do remember that.
I went, that's a great idea. And they went along with it.
You know, this is a perfect time for me to bring in my Bruno imitation. Ask me, Bruno, why do you hate and insert a name?
Bruno, why do you hate Stanley Weston?
You know, I don't hate Stanley Weston. You know, hate is a very strong word. I just hold a lot of animosity toward him. Yes, he'd always say that. But he told.
Oh, Buddy Rogers even say that about too. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right. Well, you know something? That San Martino guy hated me, and I'm the guy that got him over Pally.
That's really good.
I do. You know, I do hundreds of voices.
Yeah, that one is really good.
All the interviews that I did, none of them were real interviews. I just imitated each guy. Hey, buddy, did you have a heart attack? Well, you know something, Pally. You know, it's
Buddy was a great guy, too. I got to know him through those Joel Goodhart shows.
Oh, I
remember. Did you know I had dinner with him once? Alone, me and him?
With Buddy?
Yeah.
Dozens of times. I used to go see him at the Playboy Club.
Oh,
he used to buy me steaks all the time. Oh, yeah. When he was a greeter at the Playboy Club, I was there once a month with him.
No, I meant I had dinner with him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was after one of good. I see him in the cafeteria at the restaurant or the restaurant or at the hotel, I should say. And I say, hey, how are you? I'm just waving at him. He goes, come on, Pally, sit down. I've got nobody to talk to. Why don't you have dinner with me? Because I had taken pictures of him before in the evening. So I got to know him that way. What a great way to get to know. He had steak, of course.
Loved steaks.
So did I when I sat down. I ordered
at the Playboy Club. When I went there, he never let me pay the tab. He'd order, you know, whatever we wanted. And it just, he was, I miss him very much. He was
I do too. He was, you know what? He came to the office once. And I am telling you, when he left, I remember spinning around. Remember where I used to sit? I spinned around to talk to you. And I said, you know what? That's a professional wrestler.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was a professional wrestler every moment of his life.
Yep, he was.
And was proud of it, and it showed, and what an impressive guy he was.
Strut was a normal strut. He didn't put that on. That was his gait.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
All right, question number three.
All right, we were talking about Stanley.
Yes.
This is a simple question. One of the banes of your time at the London magazines was this factor. Okay, this was a lot of people complained to you about this. You know what's coming. Whose idea was it for the apartment house wrestling photo features? Was it Stanley? Oh. Was it Theo Arett? Who came up with the idea?
Okay, so it was team thing. Theo Arett, who was one of our great photographers, he did all the shows at the Olympic Auditorium for us. He also shot boxing for us. He sent Stanley Weston a package, and this is in my book, by the way. Bob, is wrestling fixed?
I didn't know it was broken.
Thank you. Still on sale at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Tooth plug. But Theo had sent that to Stanley, and he called me and he said, look at this. Look at these gorgeous babes. And I said, oh, it's very nice. What are we going to do with this? He said, I'll tell you in a few days. And he used to drive me home every day, Mr. Weston, day by day. I kept asking him, what are we doing with these pictures? And so finally he came out with what we're going to do, apartment wrestling. And I said, we're going to do like a separate magazine. No, we're going to put it in Sports Review because the sales are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, wrestling fans are not going to eat it. They're good. Wrestling is all about sex and gore. So, yeah. Yeah, which is true, because look at the old covers of the wrestler and his wrestling. Yeah, they were all bloody covers. So it was he who decided to do it. I was very much against it, as you know. And it was he told Theo to keep shooting sets of them, and it made my life miserable, especially with people like Chief J. Strongbow, who told me, do not put my pictures in the same magazine as those that porno stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know that was a big bone of contention for you. It had to be.
Oh, huge. To this day, people all think that those were my magazines and I approved it. And I always tell people, I never owned the magazines. I was never the main editor of the magazine. My most valuable thing that I brought from that company was my Rolodex, because the boys in the business brought me in as one of their own. And that's why I've been able to sustain doing this for 51 years.
That's right. And of course, the business goes this way, the business goes that way.
And I went with it.
Yes, you did. Every single way. You're still doing it. You're still at it.
Yeah.
So, and here's a question about that. Pre-expansion, pre-1984, did you know Vince McMahon Jr. well? Did you get along with him? What was it like? What was your relationship? Or was it strictly professional?
Cold. Mm-hmm. Totally business thing. He'd see me and go, hi, Bill, how you doing? That's it. He told me that the magazines are for the boys, not for him. That he didn't really want to be in the magazines or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're talking about after when he took over the business?
Yeah, previous to that, yeah.
Previous to that. Yeah, it's just a hello type of thing.
Because I know what happened. You had a famous story about when he blew you off.
Which it was several times.
The phone call.
Oh, I had called to talk to Howard Finkel, because it was a two-man office at that time. It was Vince Jr. and Howard, and Vince picked the phone up, and I said I was coming to, he said, what can I do for you? He answered the phone. I said, it's Howard there. Well, what do you want? I said, well, I'm coming up to Hartford. Howard was going to pick me up at the train station, and I was coming to Hartford, and somebody was driving me, and I just needed to know how to get there. And he said, get him, man. And he hung up on me, and he was pretty furious, I was told by Howard.
Mm-hmm. That was it.
Yeah.
No more, nothing. Did you make an attempt to get back in touch soon after that?
Hundreds of times. But we were kind of like the enemy at that time, because he was, you know, he was planning his own magazine. And things got worse. What you might not know is this. The first issue of his magazine was called Victory Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, very few people know this, and this is exclusive. Stanley Weston had his attorneys get a hold of Vince McMahon Jr. and tell him he cannot call his magazine Victory, because if you see in the corner of all the old Western magazines, it says Victory Sports Series on it.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. So McMahon had to get rid of the name Victory Magazine of his own product, and that's how WWF Magazine was formed.
Right, right.
Because of Stanley Weston.
Yeah.
You didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't. But you know what? I wonder if that was a good move on his part, because it only made the chasm wider.
Absolutely. Only you made him much angrier.
Yeah.
Unquestionably.
Now, you guys have seen each other several times. Everything's cooled off. You're good with him now, right?
Right. You know, even up to a year ago, I saw him backstage in Philadelphia, and he always gives me a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And says, get out. No, he doesn't. Grandpa Vince.
Yeah, he's mellow at the time, I guess.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I think when you look back at the war between the magazines, that I could write a whole book about all the times our photographers got thrown out, all the times they confiscated cameras, and it was just I never went to the matches with a camera, because I didn't want to embarrass me and I didn't want to embarrass him.
Right.
So we always sent people there. So I was never asked to leave. Once in a while, one of the wrestlers would convince them to let me backstage, but I was frisked like they would do at the airport to make sure I had no photographic device or a microphone with me. It was amazing.
Wow. But of course, you would send people.
But I enjoyed it when he had the divas do that.
But of course, you would send me and Al Bello and Roy London and various other people to the garden with a Subway sandwich bag that not so cleverly hit a long lens. And we would shoot from the second and third tiers.
It's amazing how you told security when they said, what is that in the saran wrap? And you guys said, it's a sandwich. We have a special diet. And the police, the guard would say, okay, go ahead. Could you imagine today? They might have thought it was a gun.
Yeah. Yes, you could never get away with it today. But I'll tell you something else. You know how hard that was to do? Shoot, put it between your legs. Shoot, put it between your legs. Shoot, because you're up in the 200 or 300 level seats.
Yeah.
And we did a pretty good job considering the restrictions we were under.
Oh, we did a great job. I mean, just to be able to get pictures of Hogan defeating the Iron Sheik, although Iron Sheik always maintained, Hulk Hogan never beating me. Always maintained that.
Well, I remember I wasted an entire Saturday on my own. I came up with this idea. I went into a comic book store in Manhattan, dressed like a bum. I dressed real slobby. Of course, that's not much of a stretch. but I dressed real slobby to take pictures up close of Hacksaw Duggan, who was doing a signing.
Oh, right. I remember that.
You know, I figured let's circumvent the whole thing. And I went up to him. I said, hi, I'm from Catskill. You're from Glens Falls. We talked about upstate New York. He's a real friendly, good guy. But we got some great pictures of him, and they ended up on the cover of one of the magazines. So this is what we had to go through.
I had to – WrestleMania 1, the press conference,
mm-hmm.
I showed up. And you should have seen, even though they had all the celebrities there, Liberace was there, everybody but Ali was there. And I'm standing, and Howard Finkel sees me, and he looks at me like the deer in the headlights look. Mm-hmm. So I went over to the desk, and I said who I am, and they looked at me like, what are we going to do? Because they were afraid, even though I never would have made a scene, you know me.
Right.
They let me in, and I actually got a Vince to pose for me with the Undertaker standing by his side. It's a photo I still have. But I could tell when I was looking at Vince and taking pictures of him, like, you son of a so-and-so. But they weren't going to – there was real, you know, Associated Press was there, the Daily News, the New York Post. They weren't going to throw me out in front of everybody.
Yep. Yep. So you worked that one out. Okay. Yeah. Here's another question I've always wanted to ask you. 70 or 71, when did you start? Was it 1970 or 1971 with Stanley?
Oh, it was the end of 1970, actually.
Right. That's what I thought. Okay. Because right. other people listed as 71.
Yeah. That's when I started becoming, my stuff started getting out there because I started, I believe it was December in 70 or somewhere around there.
Right. Yeah. And maybe your name didn't start appearing in the magazines until 1971. That's probably how, remember how far ahead they were in terms of when they came out?
3 months.
Yeah.
3 months.
So you could have been working in 70. You weren't seen until 1971.
Correct.
Last question. Who is your favorite Moondog?
Oh, my God. What a good Lou Albano. When he made like he was a Moondog? No, it was a great question.
Now, you can include Lonnie Mane in there if you want to.
Well, I was trying to think of his name and I couldn't remember it. Moondog mm-hmm. Lonnie Mane. Moondog Mane was my. I liked all of them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be. You know what? I'm not going to be prejudiced in getting my feeling against Moondogs. I didn't have a bone to pick with any of them.
You know who my favorite Moondog was?
Wait a minute.
Pause for a minute.
Was that a great line?
It was a great line. Yes,
I did not have a bone to pick with any of them.
There you go. I'm going to make that my – when I promote this, that's going to be my line. But my favorite Moondog is Randy Colley. You know why? Moondog what? Rex. First of all, within 5 weeks in the same arena, he was Ripper Hawkins, Moondog Hawkins, and Moondog Rex, and the fans didn't even say boo. I never got over that.
Right.
In front of the same arena, in front of the same people, he went from a guy in a Ric Flair-type robe to a drooling Moondog, and everyone went, yeah, okay. I never understood how they could be that gullible.
Wow.
You remember this, right? But here's why he's one of my wrestling heroes. He would do that. He would be Deadeye Dick. He would be a demolition. He would do this. He would do that. He would do anything he was asked, did it well, and doesn't get the credit he deserved for being a great wrestler.
Had he been around in the days of sports entertainment, he would have been an icon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he was a good big guy. People didn't give him enough credit for what his talents were because he's always submerged in big gimmicks. You know, he was.
But like today, it's hard to get those kind of things over. I look at the Viking Raiders and they're huge guys and their work is really good. But nobody buys that gimmick like Moondogs and stuff like this anymore.
Right. That's what I've been saying. Let them shave, put them in the ring, call them Bill and Biff, and I'm telling you, they'd be over twice as hard.
Wait, which one would I be?
You'd be Bill. Bill the Viking Raider, as if you're not already.
I would be Biff.
If you prefer Biff.
I might.
All right, now listen, you said you got to go, so... Tell the fans where they can find you, which is virtually everywhere, but give them a cook's tour of what you're doing, what you're up to. I know they already know this, but you might as well tell them one more time so I can hype your stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I work for Sportskeeda. I've been with them almost 2 years. And a lot of people say, well, how could you work for them? How could you work for them? That is my home. Okay? They take very good care of me. And a lot of the stuff on Sportskeeda, I don't write for them. I do videos, and I'll get to that in a moment. I used to write for them. But if you look at Sportskeeda's headlines, a lot of that is what we used to do in the magazines, the headlines.
Well, especially those early 70s ones. You're right.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So they have a YouTube channel called Wrestle Binge. I love that. Don't you love that name? Wrestle Binge. So it's two words, Wrestle Binge. Go to YouTube and subscribe to Wrestle Binge. I'm on there at least two or three times a week. One show live every Tuesday nights at 11 p.m. with Dr. Chris Featherstone called Unscripted. And we just ad-lib for an entire half hour. I'm also on a show with Teddy Long, Holla Holla Playa.
Right.
And Mac Davis called The Time Machine, where we go back in time, but just a few weeks, not a long, long, long time. So I'm there. I'm at almost every convention you can imagine. I will be on, depending upon when you're listening to this, on October 28th, I will be at the Icons of Wrestling at the old ECW 2300 arena. I'll have books on sale. I'm already booked for four dates in 2024.
I saw one of them on Facebook.
On St. Louis. I can't wait to come back. I'll be doing my one-man show.
Do you remember you and I flew to St. Louis together once?
I do absolutely.
My arms
are still healing me.
I think that was the blow off to the Black Scorpion, if I remember correctly.
I believe it was too. I did say that our arms are still killing us. But
yes. I got one last tiny question.
And by the way, you can follow me at After One Wrestling on Twitter.
Oh, okay, good. One last question. Only you know the answer to this. You, Stu, Craig, the whole team at PWI from the day. Did I do a good job? Was I okay?
You did a great job, except for the story I tell everybody about you.
Oh, the 500.
You were the most charming person, but once you were given the job of the 500, when we all would sit there and we'd rate like the top 100, and then we'd go, Bob, the rest is yours. Come in the morning. Good morning, Bob. Leave me alone!
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what. That's true. The original idea was for the PWI 100.
Yep.
And do you remember we're sitting around in a circle and I go, 100? Why don't we do 500? And Stu goes, do you think you could do it? Sure. It doesn't sound so hard. Nope. Well, I'll tell you what. That was a backbreaker. And you guys listening got to remember, there was no internet. There was no cell phones. Everything you did was either in your own brain or in papers in front of you or old magazines or press releases.
Until we got a computer with DOS.
Right. This is true, guys. We didn't even have DOS back then.
Nothing.
Holy smokes.
Nothing.
Bill Apter, I love you with all my heart.
I love you too. In a guy way, you know that.
Yes, guys. Let's not confuse that. But no, seriously, I always say that I enjoyed my job with London Publishing immensely until Stanley walked in and said, you can do Stanley better than I can. He said, I'm selling to Nick Carabas.
I'm selling the business. And you'll all have a job if you want it. It's going to be in Pennsylvania.
Oh, dude, you don't know how my life flashed before my eyes. I just bought property a few blocks away. Remember that?
Listen, next time I did, but next time we do this, I'm going to tell you about the story that rather than move, and I love Pennsylvania. I've been living here now for 30 years. But I'm going to tell you the story about the call I got from Vince McMahon's secretary and then talk to Vince about me going to work for them once he found out that I might not be at London Publishing again. We'll do that on chapter two.
Okay, great. And this means, folks, there will be a chapter two, and I can't wait. Bill, after you.
Chapter of Willie Apta.
That's right. Willie Apta. And let me tell you something.
Can I give you any other imitation before I leave?
Give me a little Jerry Lewis, please.
Oh, you don't want to wrestle?
Oh, wait a minute. Ed Sullivan.
Well, that's fine. Right here, we have two guests. Jerry Lewis. Jerry, come here. Oh, hello, Mr. Ed. And we also have the Superfly. You know something, Brother Bob? It's been a pleasure to be in your TV and your wonderland of your podcast. All right, this is the Superfly signing off. And you know what, brother? You are damn outdated.
You're doggone right I am. Like I always say, I'm so old, my Just for Men works just an hour.
All right.
Yeah, that's we'll it. See you. Bill Apta, this is the legendary Bill Apta. Bill.
Wait. Captain Lou Albano always told me, brother, I'm a legend in my own mind. See you at the matches.
I certainly hope you enjoyed our chatty little conversation there about pro wrestling with Bill Apta, and we hope to have him back soon. He says he'd like to come back, and I'm going to hold him to it and hope it's as soon as possible. All you have to do is log on to outdatedwrestlinghour.buzzsprout.com. That's outdatedwrestlinghour.buzzsprout.com. Also on that very site, you can listen to every single one of our shows. You can binge us. Or you can listen to the newest shows right there. Like I tell to our older fans, you don't need an app. Just go onto the website and hit a button. That's all you need to do. Listen to this show, older shows, any shows you like. So I'm really happy with the website. I'm really happy with everything that has to do with my host, Buzzsprout. It's a great way to get started as a podcaster. And I'm glad I made that decision. There were 1,000 to choose from. I chose the right one. Contact us, outdatedwrestling@gmail.com. Find me on Facebook, Bob Smith. I'm the guy that sings with B.B. King on the lead page. We got a bunch of good shows coming up for you guys. Some people you may not expect to see on the show, but you're going to see them here anyway. So get ready for that. I'm going to try to continue to bring you an enjoyable nostalgia wrestling podcast week after week. And I will say that we are going to be on a regular schedule for several weeks now, so there won't be any time off. I'll let you know when we're going to take an occasional week off when we do so. We publish every Friday, and I want to say what publishing means in the podcast world. I'm on about a million babillion podcast apps, okay? There's some that I ended up on. I didn't even know how I got there. But I will say this. We publish at midnight every Friday. It doesn't mean it ends up on your favorite podcast app on Friday. Some of them, it doesn't show up until the next day, or in even some cases, 2 days. But the big ones grab it right away. The Spotify's and things like that. Amazon Music has been a big friend to us. Odyssey. I love Podbean and Podbay. Podbay is great. If you've never tried Podbay, oh gosh, you got to check that out. It's great. This is Bob Smith's Outdated Wrestling Hour. We hope you had fun, and in the meantime, until we meet again, take care of yourselves, will you?